Yeah, maybe one of the better pitching matchups of the year. And Andy Baggerly joins us, Extra Bags, on Twitter with two Gs. We love following him. And Andy, you know, and I did my workup on this game and looked at some of the stats of both of these pitchers. Greinke, 33 years old, 171 and 106. Bumgarner, 28 years old, 103 and 75. 379th start for Greinke, 230th start for Bumgarner. And I said to myself, could these be two Hall of Famers? Now, a lot's got to happen maybe in the next 5 years, but I thought, why not?
Well, they've both won Cy Young, or well, Greinke's won a Cy Young Award. Bumgarner's been a World Series MVP, so they've got those sort of distinctive accomplishments. Nice. And I think it's going to be interesting as pitchers put up different numbers in the modern era. We're seeing guys maybe not throwing the complete games and not putting up what we think are the Hall of Fame benchmarks. And, of course, wins are not the way we really look at, you know, who the best pitchers are anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how we size up pitchers as Hall of Fame voters in the future. But longevity has to be a big part of it, unless you have the Pedro Martinez, Sandy Koufax-type peak, which there's only a handful of those guys in history. So, but you're right. It's two of the best pitchers in the league. And I also think that the Diamondbacks can offer a little bit of hope to the Giants, because this is a team that lost 93 games last year. And I think if the Giants look at reasons to be hopeful that they can rebound and be better, well, Greinke wasn't very good last year, and he's been much better this season. Maybe a Johnny Cueto can bounce back next year and be sort of an analog to that. And you start to put some of these things together and think, okay, you know, maybe it's some of it's more realistic than other things, but it's got to start with some hope, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great analogy, but the Diamondbacks have so much youth in that lineup. They had those power hitters with Goldschmidt and Pollock back healthy, and Jake Lamb, and they brought in J.D. Martinez. You're right. Greinke's back. They also had a change in skipper, so a whole new culture going on there. But what's going on with Bumgarner? Andy's had a couple of rough starts his last two, 11 and 11 innings. What are you seeing from Bumgarner?
I think that he's probably someone who's got a little bit of rust on him because he had such a long layoff. But, he's attacking the strike zone, and I didn't think that he really pitched that poorly on the last road trip, even though he had a rough one.
Yeah.
I think you're still seeing the strikeout-to-walk ratio, the peripherals. They still point to a guy who can be an elite pitcher. The stuff does not seem like it's taken a big step back.
Okay.
And you get him in a situation where you ramp up the competitive edge, and I think that you see the best of him. And it's pretty hard to do that with a team that's 40 games out of first place.
Understood, yeah.
Well, you look at this team, the Diamondbacks, and, you know, I said this about a month ago.
Yeah.
They pitch.
Yeah.
They pitch, and they've got that starting pitching. And I know, you know, the playoffs are kind of set to some degree. They're going to be in it. The Dodgers are going to be in it. Washington's going to be in it. I got to think the Cubs are going to hang on here, but look, anything can happen there. But you look at this Diamondback pitching, and they're number one in ERA starting pitching in the league.
You're
That's
right.
That's number one, and I'll tell you something. The guy last night is no slouch, Robbie Ray.
No, you're right, and he's been really tough. The strikeout to inning ratio is, I think, second in the National League, and they were sort of expecting this for a while. He just needed to fill up the strike zone a little bit more, and he's done that. And you're exactly right, Marty. It looked like the Dodgers were going to be a half a run better than everybody else in the major leagues when you look at starting pitching ERA. And slowly they've given some of it back, and the Diamondbacks have passed them by a hundredth of a percentage point. And, you know, they've got five guys who have stuff, who have, ability, who are still have some good years in front of them. And they also, as of a couple of weeks ago, had the lowest OPS against by left-handed hitters of any major league team. Lefties really just do not hit these guys, whether it's a Robbie Ray who's going left on left or a Greinke who's tough on lefties. So they've presented a big-time challenge for the Giants, who, of course, have a very left-handed leaning lineup. And it's one of the things that getting some more right-handed power for next season might help to address.
Panic got him last night, right? He ripped one, right?
Panic had a good night last night. He had a good night last night. But the thing is, when you have a lot of starting pitching, and we saw it with Lincecum and different pitchers on the Giants. I'll tell you, by the way, I'll digress for a second. You know who's having a great year? Yosmero Petit. He is having a great year for the Angels.
Yeah,
and if they get this wild card, I'm telling you, he's a big part of it, believe it or not. So it leads me to this. When you have five starting pitchers, you only need three, maybe four, maybe. And then this other guy you have could be the bridge guy again, and the Giants have won World Series with people like that.
And the Diamondbacks took an Archie Bradley, who was a top prospect, and he couldn't quite figure it out, and so they put him in that role, and he's been fantastic. You look at a Chris Devensky and what he does for the Astros and all the injuries they had in their rotation, and that you think that that would be a thing that crippled the team, and it really didn't at any point. And I think that there's a real sort of thought in the game today that there is a perceptible advantage that a hitter gains when he sees a pitcher for a third time. And, you know, unless you have a Max Scherzer or a Bumgarner or one of the very rare guys in this game, you're better off to go after the guys who can limit the hard contact but maybe aren't so durable, like a Rich Hill. Some of these guys that maybe were undervalued a little bit that the Dodgers went out and got. And they work a game backwards. Now, of course, they have Kenley Jansen, who's the best closer in the game. And that always makes it easy. But if you've got to have the depth of pitchers, and you've got to have the bullpen to make that kind of to make it work. And the thing that's nice about the Diamondbacks is they've got the rotation and they've got some strength in the bullpen. And you see a pitching staff that's right up there with the Dodgers.
No, and you put Godley in the bullpen or Taijuan Walker in the bullpen. And then you turn it over to, you know, a lefty McFarland for a specialty or Chafin. But then Bradley throwing 98.
Yep.
And then you got Rodney, who's a seasoned veteran who is 95% good and 5% bad. And you just hope it doesn't happen at the wrong time.
Well, maybe Ty Block could be that guy next year.
Well,
for the Giants, because opponents are hitting like 215 off him the first time through. And then all of a sudden it's like 340 the second time through. So it makes you sort of realize this guy could be, you know, maybe a guy who gets you five outs or six outs in the middle of a game and can help you build that bridge. But you've got to have the starting depth to be able to have somebody else you can plug in there. And Matt Moore will be a part of that.
Well, let's talk about Matt Moore, because his option was picked up. And what does that mean to the ball club? Are you surprised? And what do you foresee with him? Because is he one of those guys maybe that's two times through? But he has more trouble the first time through.
Right, right. Getting him off to a good start is the key with him. But the way his contract is set up, Marty, it's a $9 million option with a $1 million buyout, and then the year after that is another club option for $10 million with a buyout that was, I think, $750,000. So they're looking at a guy who is going to be 30 in the second year that they have an option on him, and they think, you know, it's worth it for us to take this shot and maybe have value next year and even the year after that. They got this guy because they believe in him. It hasn't worked out. The outfield defense has really hurt him. He's done plenty of his own self-inflicted damage. But, you know, they don't have to make this decision until after the World Series. And it's been kind of telegraphed to us beat writers that they were going to go ahead and bring him back. But then he came out and Bobby Evans said it point blank to the L.A. Times and Bill Shaken's story this morning that they are going to pick up his option. So I talked to Moore about that today, and he said, you know, yeah, to see that news, he is relieved because he didn't know exactly what the team would do, and it's going to allow him to have some peace of mind, some confidence. And sometimes you need someone else demonstrating that they believe in you to add on to what you already believe about yourself, and that can do wonders for you. We'll see how that affects him in his last couple starts here.
Great. How important is it not to end up with 100 losses or more?
I don't know how important it is. You know, I think that they've known everything has gone wrong. I think they've been kicked in the teeth so many times this year. I don't know if it's important that they avoid 100 or not. They have pride in what they do. They have pride in each other and in themselves. And I'm sure they would like to avoid that. But, you know, Jeff Samardzija was asked that yesterday because Bruce Bochy said he sees a guy out there, you know, who's fed up with losing. And I asked him, are you? And he said, yeah, I think as a professional you have to be. But you don't take the field saying we need to win today to avoid 100 losses. We need to take the field today to say, you know, we need to win a game and be there for each other. And he said, you know, true colors come out and you find out about people. And if some people don't rise to the occasion now, then maybe you use that information to make some changes down the road.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting the way Samardzija, he sounded like a lawyer. It sounded like, you know, it's the way lawyer talked because he wasn't naming names. But, of course, this week there was some grumbling.
Yeah.
And I thought Samardzija said it the way, you know, someone would say without directly saying it. For anyone who doesn't like it, man up here.
Man up.
And I'll make a comment about that, about the story in the Chronicle. It's, I mean, there were two off-the-record comments, or not attributed comments, one saying it's been a different vibe this year. The other one, I forget what the exact comment
was. It was something to the effect of Bochy's never satisfied. Nothing's ever good enough.
Nothing's ever good enough. Okay.
Terrible.
Let's go ahead and review this year. Yeah. The ace pitcher gets hurt on an off day and misses 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Hunter Strickland goes rogue and hits Bryce Harper, and Buster Posey stands behind the plate, and there's a fight that looked like it could be something that drives a team apart.
Yeah.
You've got Mark Melancon, somebody whispering that they don't like the way he's fixed the stretching routine. I mean, you've got a team that was supposed to win 90 games that might lose 100. Out of all that, the worst thing that you have is it's a different vibe and nothing's good enough. This is the cleanest dirty laundry in the history of investigative baseball reporting. I mean, I got to tell you, for Bruce Bochy and the coaching staff and the leaders in that room, and you could point to Samardzija, to Hunter Pence, to the people who are positive every day, I think it's a testament to them that this is the dirty laundry that you're hearing. It's a different vibe. Well, of course it's a different vibe. They're going to lose 100 games.
Andy, at the end of the season, do you think more dirt will be revealed? Do you think there's more backbiting going on than we have access to at this point?
I mean, I'm sure there has to be a lot of disappointment in people in that room within each other.
Yeah.
And it's, they don't want that stuff to get out. To a certain extent, it's my job to try to ferret that out.
Yeah.
And there are some people who aren't here any longer already that have been ferreted out, maybe. But, I mean, you know what? I think you a lot of this stuff, it's hard to keep under wraps. We've seen Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds fight in plain view in the dugout. And, there have been some times when Buster Posey's kind of snapped at Brandon Belt on the field a couple times. But for the most part, they've handled their business internally. And, you watch certain things. I'm on the road with them all the time. And you can tell when there are people who really just actively dislike each other. And they still do stuff together. They still stretch together. They've still have come up with little things to try to keep themselves positive. And I think they're realizing they're going up against the current. And this year, nothing's going to turn around where they are. But, I don't see a team that's in complete disarray or people who are at each other's throats. And I've seen that in major league clubhouses. I've seen it here. And I just don't get a sense for that this season.
All right, very good. Andy Baggerly with us. A pleasure. Thanks for coming out, as always. But Vogelsong, we had a ball with him out here. He's going to do something tomorrow. He wouldn't reveal exactly what it's going to be or whether he'd even be in a uniform, but something's going to happen tomorrow.
Yep.
And he said he's also going to the Instructional League to work with the young pitchers down there and see if he likes it. Maybe there's something in his future as a potential Rover coach, whatever.
Right. I think he'd be a fantastic coach because he can teach you competitiveness and not giving in. That was what was... I mean, it wasn't always so great to watch because he wasn't exactly snappy getting those 1-2-3 outs. But he would go to 3-2, and until it was 3-2 with the bases loaded, he would not give in. And most of the times he could figure his way out of it. And that was fun to watch. It's fun to watch somebody who just refuses to give in and competes at that kind of level. And he's been part of some of the biggest moments in Giants history, and his personal story is fantastic. So really nice that he can come out and be recognized. And it'll be really nice to see Matt Cain recognized, too, the final weekend, where I assume he's going to get a start against the Padres.
How does Cepeda's birthday cake look?
Oh, it looks fantastic. I just tweeted a photo of it. And I guess the big Panama hat on it is made out of a big Rice Krispie treat. So
awesome.
We'll have to save one. Save
look at Marty.
You, Marty.
I got mine.
There you go.
It's not Rice Krispies.
No.
This is a real one.
That's nice. Is it Stetson?
I don't know.
Woven in Ecuador.
Right.
Nice.
By real Ecuadorians.
There you go.
It's
right.
Awesome. And Baggerly, Andrews, you got to go to his Twitter account. The birthday cake is sublime. That's very nice. Right. Very cool.
Well, thank you for coming out and always being available on those weekends on the road. I really appreciate it. You've been terrific all year.
Well, thanks, Marty. The mosaic doesn't look so pretty, but we put it together as best we can.
It's not done yet.
Not
how about
yet.
Wait till tonight? I like the matchup. I really do. Bumgarner and Greinke tonight.
Well, the pocket square, the thing in your pocket looks fantastic. Northwestern Bowling Green, who you got?
Boy, I don't
the
know.
The fighting Fitzgeralds?
I got to have some hope that we're going to beat Bowling Green, a MAC team. But we did lose to them in a bowl game a few years ago. So hope everybody gets out healthy.
All right. Very good, Andy.
Did Florida win?
I haven't been. I got caught up with Andy. I lost track.
As Spurrier said, the only game that matters is Tennessee. If you can't beat Tennessee, the season is a mess. Well, you got to beat Tennessee.
He also said he can't spell citrus without UT.
That's correct. And he's from Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah, incredible.
But you had to win the Tennessee game. If you lost the Tennessee game in the East, you were climbing a mountain to get back in. So you had to win that Tennessee game. So.
Having watched the going in person to Tampa for the Outback Bowl and losing to Tennessee by about 8 scores, I've heard enough Rocky Top to last.
I got to see my alma mater played your alma mater in an Outback Bowl back, I want to say, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Auburn?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal game.
Oh, it was a great game.
And we just barely got past you in overtime, but it was a heck of a game. And
almost
Northwestern
beat you
fans
on the fumble Ruski.
That's right. And Northwestern fans were dynamite. It was fun.
Very good. Andy, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, very good. All right, that's Andy Bagley. Let's hear it for Andy. Always a pleasure to have him on here. Very good. All right, more coming up. Bruce Jenkins next right here on the Sports Leader.